take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Today we have Miss Kathleen Nguyen with us today. She has quite a list of accomplishments and things that she's done in her career. So I'm going to go ahead and ask her to introduce herself, because I know if I do it, I will definitely miss some very important things that she's done. So thank you so much, Kathleen, for being here with us today.
Thanks, Cammie. And thank you, Emily, for having me be here today. I am I'm grateful. And I'm old, so that's how you get more accomplishments. If you live into your 60s and you are alive, you should be accomplishing things. And so I'm a graduate of the University of Arizona, and I was a communications major and spent a brief time in television journalism. Spent a majority of my career in real estate and lending, then ended up working at the Arizona Attorney General's office, which is where I found a passion for helping victims of crime, helping children who became victims of crime, and then sex trafficking, anti-sex trafficking, internet crimes against children, working with law enforcement, working with prosecutors. And when I left the Attorney General's office in 2015, I have devoted my whole time since then to bringing resources to our law enforcement in the state of Arizona, getting laws passed that protect children and prosecute criminals. And I just completed 4 years on the governing board of Maricopa Community Colleges, which is how we all met. And I did run for Congress and came in second. So now I have a radio show in Tucson that I interview people much like this. So you've turned the tables, which I love. And I continue to find missing children. So during our congressional campaign, we found 10 missing children, which was just a natural occurrence out of people hearing my background. So it is not what the design of my nonprofit is. I have a nonprofit, Project 25. I'm the executive director of that. And I do many, with my husband, we do many charitable works. And I have accomplished a lot, but it is all for the good of the community, and it's really wherever my heart leads me, helping homeless, helping veterans, and right now working with law enforcement and helping vulnerable children.
Yes, Kathleen, you have such a background and you have done so many amazing things for so many people. And today we want to focus on talking about your nonprofit Project 25 and some of the other organizations that you are involved with, like you're a board member of the Untrafficked as well. And so before we do that, I want to go back to just really quickly, and I want to talk about how we met at the Maricopa Community College District. And so, Cammie, I want you to kind of talk about that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So from my memory, if my memory is correct, it was during the time when, as our last semester of nursing school, and as everybody knows, Emily and I were trying to graduate. The school was putting these vaccine mandates on us, basically saying that we couldn't graduate nursing school unless we became vaccinated. At that point, we were reaching out to anybody and everybody for help. And I have an aunt who was also my mom's best friend. She served on the Arizona House of Representatives from 99 to 2005, I believe. And she worked, and Kathleen, she didn't work with you, but you guys were aware of each other. You guys right. kind of.
Yes, we both, she was in the legislature and I was working in the community, and my husband retired from Boeing, so we would spend it was important that the legislature knew Boeing was one of the largest employers in Maricopa County. So we met through several different functions, both political and community oriented in business. And she's a wonderful woman.
Yeah, she was such a wonderful lady. And she really was the reason why you and I and Emily got to talking, and we were able to continue on with the relationship that we had. And it was really a wonderful. From a personal perspective and a personal standpoint, I would reach out to her day and night, and she would constantly offer support. She was doing everything and anything that she could on her end, getting me contact information for congressmen and congresswomen and representatives and phone numbers and emails. And you were one of the people that she told me to reach out to initially. And, you know, you and Emily would talk, and that's kind of how all of this developed. And in getting to know you, Emily and I were in such awe when we found out that you had, you know, the resume that you do have, but as well as the Project 25, which is one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about, is, you know, your nonprofit organization.
Well, and thank you. And just to close up that, the other...
Kathleen, I don't mean to interrupt. I really do want to honor her this morning and just mentioning her today, because she is no longer with us. And whether that's a story for another day, whether it's due to the COVID that she succumbed to, or what, you know, I truly believe is the maltreatment that she had at the hospital when she was there. But I do want to honor her today. I want to honor her memory, and I want to honor the support that she gave all of us, and the reason why Kathleen and us have connected is because of her, and she deserves that.
She was a staunch advocate for the both of you. And obviously she had a stronger relationship with Cam because of the family connection. But I just have to say that when she first talked to me, she knew that what was being done to the two of you was completely wrong. And she knew my reputation for fighting, and she asked me to fight on your behalf. And it was a request I couldn't deny, and I was happy to do it. But I want you to know, and to honor her memory, she was fiercely, fiercely fighting for what you were fighting for, and then became ill. So she would have done this had she survived, and she was as staunch an advocate as she could be, and just finding someone inside the system who could direct and guide and help you. That's why I think it was so important that everyone do know that does know how we all met and how important relationships are, because you never know the design. We never know how. I hadn't talked to her or whatever, but there was a time and a place where this needed to be happen, and she was the catalyst for it. So I think it's really important you do. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. You put that very, very well. And so moving forward, we do want to talk about Project 25. And if you could give us a brief overview, Kathleen, of Project 25 and what that nonprofit organization that you created has done for the community, specifically in Arizona.
Well, Project 25, I'm going to take you back a little. When I first came out of the AG's office, I started a group called the Arizona Anti-Trafficking Network. And several years into that, I decided I wanted to focus more on helping law enforcement than helping victims, not because victims aren't important, but there were so many victims and the stories were similar, and how they got to become victims. That was like maybe five scenes into the movie, if you will. I wanted to go back to the beginning and provide resources for law enforcement, because I thought if we could prevent versus treating victims, we would have less victims. And so Project 25, whose mission is to end sexual exploitation by 2025, was born. And I paired up with, I lived in Mesa at the time, and I lived there for almost 24 years. And I paired up with the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and we created VAST, Valley Against Sex Trafficking, which wasn't just for Mesa, but was for the entire county, Maricopa County, but also we did things in Tucson. We did projects in Prescott and Sedona. I traveled all over the state and ended up traveling all over the country to work with law enforcement in operations to track predators, to find missing children. And I've done that. And for me, it was a 10-year commitment in 2015, Project 25, that by 2025, we would have the technology, the resources, and the awareness to prevent this crime and to stop this crime. And that sounds kind of crazy back then, if you think about it, but we did just shut down the entire world for COVID. So I'm thinking if we can shut down the entire world for a disease, this is more of a plague, and we should be able to do the same for this. So I have many stories and many successes, but I've been very blessed. I am a Christian. I feel that God uses us and gives us certain talents and abilities and connections. And I have tried to honor him in this mission and in this walk to use the resources that he provides. It's all his stuff. We really have nothing. And I believe that everything that we have belongs to God, because it's really his. What is happening is no one person can stop. No one team can stop. We really are going to have a higher power to stop the evil that's happening in the world. And if anyone knows about the breadth and depth, and the more you learn, you can't unknow it. And in knowing it, I believe we have an awesome responsibility to do something about it. So that's where I find myself.
Do you think that the publicity, because before you talked about you found 10 missing children during your run in Congress. So do you think that the publicity from that run helped increase, you know, everyone looking for these kids once they found out that that was what you stood for and that was something that you were striving for?
It wasn't even publicity. What it was, although I did publicize that I was running, people didn't know I was running for Congress. People knew that I, you know, you could make that connection. Oh, and she fights sex trafficking, that was in my resume. But what was happening is I was visiting the district. The district is the fourth largest geographic congressional district in the country. It's the south, essentially the southeast corner of Arizona, Tucson, Oro Valley, Oracle, the border, Cochise County, Graham, Greenlee, half of Pima County. So I was traveling all over. And, you know, people in the state of Arizona may live in one place, but have relatives in another place. So I was at the border in Cochise County, and a grandmother was there, and she heard me talk about what I do. And she said, our granddaughter is getting ready to leave. She's going to turn 18, and this man's been grooming her, and we think she's going to be trafficked. So just happened like that. I had a mom who I worked with 15 years ago, and she heard that I was running, but her son went missing in Prescott, and we found him. And there was two teenagers that ran away because the dad had been mean to the boyfriend, you know, like, and so it was all different things, but they were very elusive because they took a car that didn't have any tracking mechanisms. They left their cell phones behind. So they knew not to take any devices with them, and they were harder actually to find. Now, that wasn't a trafficking situation. That was a runaway situation, but you never know until you undo everything. But we did find 10 missing children. And the last child that we found was about 3 weeks before the primary, a little girl from Mexico who had been taken to the town of El Mirage. She was 8 years old, and this family from Mexico was pretending that she was theirs, but she was being exploited. And so the people that called me, none of them spoke English. I speak just poquito, little Spanish, and Espanol, but I got someone who could speak to them, and we figured out what was going on, and the El Mirage police came and recovered her. And so if finding 10 children. They're not going to Congress is what God intended. Okay, I'll get over it.
Yeah.
But what it did is it let me know that purpose that I set out to do in 2015 for 10 years was really where I needed to be. And what it has done is I met many congressmen and women across the country in my run and talked to many organizations. And so the conversation became not just a local or state conversation, but it has been a national conversation. And it connected me with Untrafficked. And I work with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. In the past, I've worked with Shared Hope. There's many, many great organizations. Rebecca Bender, who's a survivor. Many people across the country who have done incredible work. And I know over 100 survivors of trafficking. Not one of them, mostly women, probably, I would say over 100 women and maybe 10 men. Men do and boys do get trafficked. But I will tell you that not one of them chose to be there. They believed that they were going to something better than whatever they were running from or coming from and never really chose to be there, chose to be with the person that convinced them or groomed them or told them lies, but they never really, once they were there, wanted to do the act of rape for profit, which is assault, essentially what this is. If you choose not to be having a sexual act with someone, you are being raped. And there's no other way to look at that. And we don't talk about it that way. What has happened since 2010, when I originally got into this, till now, is we weren't allowed to talk about pornography in 2010. We weren't even into school about internet crimes against children during the time of the Attorney General. We weren't allowed to talk about sex trafficking. So it's just, I feel that our efforts, and they weren't just my efforts, they're efforts of thousands of people across this country, really have crescendoed in that people know that this is happening. There's some misconceptions about that when the Super Bowl comes, that's the worst event. The truth is people pay so much money to go to that game. There's hardly any trafficking happening on Super Bowl day, at least at the Super Bowl. And that when we have spring training here in Arizona and in Florida, that far more trafficking goes on at major events, major sporting events across the country than one big event. And so, unfortunately, someone said that once and it stuck. Because it, you know, you could talk about the Super Bowl and trafficking at the same time. It's just not, it's not completely honest and truthful. That's not to say that networks aren't currently moving in right now for our Super Bowl, but we also have spring training. We also have the Bear Jackson car auction. We also have the Phoenix Open. All of those events cause for the nefarious actions of human smuggling, human trafficking, and unfortunately, drug trafficking. Which is really at the heart of why why this crime, the crime of trafficking, exists.
Yeah, and I actually really appreciate what you've said, Kathleen, because there's a couple things that you've said during those last moments you were just talking. I appreciate you talking about boys and males also being trafficked, because I think that we have this conception that it's just young women and we really are okay, you know, with our boys just kind of going out in the world and doing their own thing, right? And you're not really thinking like, yeah, my son can be trafficked as well, right? And then also what you said about how you weren't even allowed to speak about child or, you know, sex trafficking in 2010, which number one is absolutely unbelievable. And number two, I want to make people uncomfortable. Because when you make people uncomfortable, that's when you create change. And so looking at some statistics that I was looking at just the other day preparing for this, on missingkids.org, they were listed that over 17,000 children were victims of trafficking in 2021. And it was both males and females. Obviously, you know, females are higher. But it does happen to males as well. And I would like, if you're okay going back to the Super Bowl and events, those large sporting events that happen, if you could kind of just talk about why these kids are being trafficked. And we only have a couple minutes before break, but if you could just kind of talk about, you know, because it's a distractor, and I'm assuming this is correct, Kathleen, that because we have such a large distraction and everybody's so focused on these sporting events that it's easy for them to have large groups of people smuggling, you know, from one place to the other. Am I correct with that?
Yes, you are. And here, let me just say it a little bit different if I can. What happens when someone purchases another human being for a sexual act is that they're essentially committing a crime. It's not legal to do that. What we have seen over the last few years is that you pay a higher price the younger the child. And our laws and our statutes in Arizona were 14 and under. So if you have but 18 is the legal age. So one of the laws that I helped change was that a law that said if you bought a child, any child under the age of 18, you would have severe consequences. If you're under the age of 14, the penalties go up substantially. You're punished now for everybody that is not a legal adult. The problem that we have is that people that pay for sex with children know that they're buying children because the price of buying a 21-year-old is different than the price of buying a 14-year-old. It's much more expensive because it's much more dangerous, if you will, to the buyer and to the person selling because there's much stricter penalties. And I think that people don't understand that people that are buying people for sex have no moral compass. It is perverted. It is evil, and we have a disproportionate amount of children that are being bought and sold that have come through the foster care system. Many children that are in the foster care system are there because their person that was supposed to be responsible for them, sometimes parents, sometimes grandparents, have a connection with drugs. So, you know, over 90% of our kids in foster care are there because of substance abuse in the home. So we have a drug problem that is directly in a correlate with this problem. And I think that it's important when people come to an event, networks are set up, and we know that there's going to be a lot of people, and people a lot of times do this not in their own backyard. They do it someplace else where they don't live, because if they do get caught and their name appears in the paper, no one will know who they are. A lot of thought, you have to think about this, and you have to find those that are selling children in order to do this. Unfortunately, our social media platforms have made it easier to purchase children. You can go on Facebook today and purchase children. You can go on other websites and purchase children. Backpage.com was one of those sites that the Arizona Attorney General's Office and the Department of Justice helped take down in 2018, April 6, 2018. And those owners lived in Arizona, and they were selling children online. You could order up a child like you order up a pizza. And they were 86% of the child sex trafficking market in the world, and then they were in 92 countries. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when you take someone down like that, someone will pop up in their place. Mm-hmm. And so it happens in massage parlors. It happens in truck stops. It happens in hotel rooms. There are people being transported in our airplanes right now in this country that are being brought to be trafficked someplace. And it has gotten worse, not better, in the last 2 years. The number of missing children has gone up significantly in the last 2 years. The number of sexual predators coming into our country, almost a 3,000 to 4,000% increase, because we have gotaways and we don't know everyone that's now coming into our country. So, and at the same time, we have normalized it in our schools. We have normalized gender and sexual preferences and teaching children at younger and younger ages about sex, not biology, but sex. And so trying to normalize pedophilia. And mostly young boys are molested by men, not women. So the predators mostly are men. And we have to do a better job of teaching our men. If you look at when they arrest people who have had relations with children, in a very rare occasion, it's a woman, but mostly it is men, with the exception of teachers in high school and young teenage boys. That's a different group. They're not trafficking those. Those are relational. But if you look at when the police arrest people and they do sting operations, it is all men, all different ages. So it is not one. I wish it was one type of person. We would just go out and target, but you can't, because all different men, all different ages, from teenage men to 80-year-old men, are purchasing human beings for sex. And we just have to make it so that you can't arrest your way out of it. We have to actually change the culture and the mindset. This is not okay in our culture. And right now it is happening at such epidemic proportions. The only thing COVID did, I would say, is stop that for a short time, because people were not allowed to go out. And so, but now it continues. One of the things we did is we commissioned a study, and we identified 155 criminal enterprises operating in the state of Arizona 2 years ago. I'm going to guarantee you it's gotten worse because of the open borders. And the other thing, Emily, that people don't even think about is people are coming into this country, but those borders are open going the other way. So what's being taken out of our country?
Yeah,
who's being taken out of our country? And I have several cases right now.
Kathleen, before you continue, we actually do have to go to break, but I want you to continue with that thought, because everything that you're talking about is absolutely what people need to hear. And I want people to be uncomfortable. Right now, we're talking with Ms. Kathleen Nguyen and going over her nonprofit Project 25. You're listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
It's time, and this is what.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutloud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Again, we are here with Kathleen Nguyen, who is the creator of the nonprofit Project 25. And we're here talking today about the sexual exploitation of children and child trafficking. So Kathleen, thank you so much for sticking with us.
Absolutely.
And so Kathleen, to get back into it and to kind of go backwards a little bit, earlier you were mentioning groomers and basically traffickers being primarily men. But I have a question for you. I do know that there are female groomers out there, and I'm not sure how much of that you're seeing or if you see that at all. I do know that there are groomers that, I mean, possibly mothers selling their own children, parents renting out their houses or rooms in their houses to commit sex acts with their children. And then as far as teenagers and adolescents go, you know, there are girls out there that kind of become friends with other females and invite girls over to their houses or invite them to an event. And the friends are unknowingly going, not knowing that they're going to be trafficked or exploited. And so they kind of put out, you know, a lot of men put out feelers. They get one girl to kind of lure other girls in. And so I wasn't sure how often you're seeing that type of thing happen, if at all.
Well, I want to draw a distinction. So what you're talking about are the sellers, and what I was talking about was the buyers. So the sellers, absolutely, everything you just said is valid and true. And there are networks. And in order to do this, a groomer doesn't have to be a man. A groomer could be, but most buyers, most people having sex are men. It's just statistically the way that it is. Women don't have to pay for sex, or typically don't have to pay for sex, or typically won't pay for sex. Men will pay for sex. It's just the dynamic of the crime, and they'll pay for sex with girls and with boys. But what you just brought up, Cammy, is equally important, because they will have young girls or girls pretending to be somebody's friend. They will find the most vulnerable girl. They won't pick the most confident, self-confident girl. They'll find the girl that is not as confident, that is not, does not have as many friends, and befriend them. And because they're easier to seduce, because there's not a network of girlfriends or people around them. Girls that have a high opinion of themselves are less susceptible to this. Girls that are, and doesn't mean that the girls aren't smart, because we've had some really isolated, intelligent girls get groomed into this, but it's a level of vulnerability. Single parent families are more vulnerable to this. Again, kids in foster care. If children are in a vulnerable situation where they don't have safeguards, or they don't have a solid family structure around them, relatives do this. Unfortunately, you would think people are being abducted at a higher rate, but unfortunately, 30% of our child sex trafficking happens because of the family. So think about that. It might not be their parents. It might be an aunt, an uncle. It might be a brother, a sister. So many situations where families are dysfunctional. I had a family with the father, there were four brothers, mom, there was no mom in the picture, and a daughter. And dad and brother were, one was sexually abusing, was molesting. And they put the girl in foster care. Well, she met a groomer, just like you mentioned, Cammy. Another girl ran away from foster care. And by the grace of God, the church people found out all this and actually helped get her into foster care. It felt horrible, horrific. But they had given her a gift card, and it was through that gift card that we could track her, and we found her, and we recovered her. But But families are messed up. And the more dysfunctional a family, the more likely that a child in that family will run away because they think whatever's out there is better than what they're living through right now. And so your point is very valid. But when it comes to the actual consumers, if you will, this is a business, the billions and billions and billions of dollars get spent on this and pornography and you can't even imagine. So this is not something that will it's a big criminal enterprise, a big criminal network, many people. But again, primarily our buyers are men.
And we are seeing a rise, like, you know, with the way that it is today and how inflation has increased, we are seeing that there are more broken families. Both parents are working, right? And we know that puts strain on relationships and families and money problems. That's one of the number one reasons why people get divorced is because of finances and lack of communication, which I feel like our culture grows that nowadays, which I'm sure is leading to the increased number of trafficking and exploitation that we're seeing in children.
And also teenage suicide, which is not related necessarily to trafficking, but the isolation. Children were made to be social. Mm-hmm. So when you have someone who exploits that and takes advantage of that with a child, plus we have to remember children's brains, you guys are both nurses, children's brains are not fully formed until they're 25. Their decision-making abilities, you know, we look at our teenagers and go, why the heck did you do that? Well, they did it because they're not fully formed. Their brain's still figuring it out. And they make a lot of decisions through emotion versus reasoning. As you get older, you can weigh things and do a better job. And that's why it's so evil and egregious when a 35-year-old will exploit a 14-year-old, right? Or anybody that's older than a child. There's no contest there because the adult has different reasoning capabilities and can outsmart typically most children. That's not a fair fight. That's not even a fair contest. Mm-hmm. And those that are doing that are selfish and narcissistic and want something. And they want what they want, and they could care less about the person that they're doing it to. It's sport for them. It's really despicable. I've put too many people in jail to know that, not me, the system, but help law enforcement find them or make them aware of their existence. I don't regret anybody that has been jailed because of just how depraved they were and just how selfish they were. And then when they get caught, they try to convince the victims not to testify against them. Mm-hmm. And it's only then you can see their weakness and how pathetic they are. But until then, they think they have all the control and power. And if a victim won't speak out or have the courage, they do. And they continue to create more victims. So that's why it's so important for parents and grandparents and caretakers to know who their children are talking to and when they're talking to them, and know you're not intruding, and know your children don't have privacy rights. You're their parent. You're not their friend. And we have to really stress that parenting is not that it's a lost art, but it's so much more important to be your child's parent, to be a boundary for your kids than it is to be their friend.
To be a protector of them.
Yes.
To protect them, really, you know, you're totally right. We want to be their friend. We want them to like us. But that's the thing, is if you're really, you know, if you're really able to connect with them and you are available to them and you're not always distracted by whatever else is going on in your life, then you are going to be available to them and you will be friendly with them. But also you will be their protector because they'll be able to share those things with you and they'll feel comfortable if it's not filled with judgment and it's filled with love. Really, everything all comes back to love. And it's actually funny you mentioned, you know, we actually, if you go back and listen to episode 2 on our podcast, you'll see we do have some studies from NIH that go over the developmental age is 25. And there's some studies to back that up over on show 2. But I know Cammie has a couple more questions as well that we want to get to today. with caffeine.
Yeah, I actually had just one more question, Kathleen. So you were talking earlier about the foster system and how children from broken homes are at a greater risk of being groomed and trafficked and exploited for sex. And I was curious if you saw the Project Veritas, their recent whistleblower kind of out the government, saying that the government has been complicit with, you know, putting children in the hands of criminals and sex traffickers, and using our own tax dollars to do so.
I have not seen the Project Veritas, but I know firsthand. When I worked at the Attorney General's office, we were the attorney for DCS. At the time, it was CPS and became DCS during that time. So I've seen it firsthand. And I'm good for Project Veritas for exposing it. But the government...
And that's more what I meant, is not necessarily just giving, you know, all of that praise to them, because I know that there are people out there on the front lines, and I know that the whistleblower just kind of wanted to bring it to light. And so knowing that the work that you do, I was just curious if I'm sure you've seen stuff like that. And I want
you see it every day. You see, you know, if you're a mom, you're a single mom, and you've got two teenage girls, and then you've got this guy, and he wants to spend a lot of time with your daughters, or wants to, you know, I see just train wrecks waiting to happen. And then the foster care system, people that were foster care parents that are later then found to have sexually, you know, exploited children that they had in their care, and it went on for years. There's no shortage of places and vulnerabilities that get created. But why are these kids in foster care? You have to go back to the demise of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're all out back on the family. The government has been incentivizing fathers leaving family with welfare for decades. So if we destroy the strength of our country, which is our families and our faith, and there's a concerted effort by our government to destroy what was the moral fabric of the country and what was really the strength of the country, you get the result that we've got right now. And then you add hypersexualized content, and you add sexual perversion into cartoons, and you start to teach children through video games and avatars, and you give access to your children and your children's information, and the government is doing that, and this is off topic, but then you want to vaccinate your children. We are poisoning our children every possible way that we can. And if the government is part of it, who's going to stand up to the government and protect our children? And that's, you know, that's part of probably why I ran. If I were to break it down, I hadn't really thought of it till I said those words right now. But I've been protecting children for a very long time. I have children. I have grandchildren. I have 16 grandchildren, 10 girls and 6 boys. They're very young. My oldest one is only 12. And I have to say that I worry about their vulnerabilities, and I worry about the world they're growing up in. And we as a people have to take a stand against the manipulation and the aggressive, the people that are evil and predators. This is organized. They're going after, they have no remorse. This is a business, and it is profitable. And children are disposable to them. And they have no regard for our children. And we have to be more aware. And unfortunately, broken homes are homes where children are going through divorce. Those kids are really vulnerable because there's a lot of manipulation that goes on.
And Kathleen, I want you to finish your thought there, but I want to make people uncomfortable. So after you're finished with what we're chatting about right now, which I feel like it really ties into it, I want you to, if you're okay, and I know we didn't talk about this before, so I apologize if I'm making you uncomfortable, but Like I said before, when people are uncomfortable, that's when change happens. Whether it's personal change when you're personally uncomfortable, or whether it's uncomfortability in the, you know, society standards, and that's what creates change. So can you detail and describe the things that are happening to these children? And I don't want you to hold back anything. I want you to be very blunt to what's happening, because I want people to understand that this is real. This isn't just us talking on this topic and statistics and numbers. These are real things that are happening to children. And if you have children, I want you to look at them, whether they range from babies to adults or young adults, anywhere in between. This is what's happening to somebody's child. And I want people to really understand that this is not okay. And I get so worked up about this because I think of my 5-year-old, almost 6-year-old, and to think that she could possibly be in one of these situations now or in the future, I honestly, I don't have remorse for these predators either. I would want the absolute worst done to them, because there is nothing more sickening than taking advantage of somebody that's at their most vulnerable. Okay, well, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Children are vulnerable. And I can, you know, so one of the things that's being done is children are being taken from the United States into Mexico, where they're making things that are called snuff films, where they, on film, rape a child and then kill the child and then sell those films. And so that is happening. Now, if that doesn't make you sick, basically they are videotaping or filming their murders of children after they sexually, you know, so think about that. That's the end of somebody's life. We have seen the cartels, you know, I had a mom who I had to identify a body. Her daughter had a plastic bag put over her head because the cartel member wanted the mom, but didn't want the teenage daughter. And the mom had to be then put into prison. The cartels are running our country right now. And they are targeting children of color more than white children, although they do abduct white children, but we have a disproportionate amount of Black and brown children, also Native American children separately, who have gone missing, and in Arizona, but across the country. And when a child goes missing, some of the things I hear that have been done are so over the top despicable, you can't even imagine. About a month ago, there was a 13-year-old girl who had been gang raped on her way being transported to this country, and she was giving birth to her first child at 13 years old in this country, not speaking the language. If the only good thing is she was removed from her predators, but now she's in a country with a baby and nothing, and where is she going to go? And how do we prevent it from happening again? And who's taking care of her, and who's transporting her, and how did she get here to begin with? I can't unsee or unknow what I know. The atrocities, though, have gotten more violent. There was a truck full of immigrant girls being brought here from somewhere. So I think they started in Central America, through Mexico, through Arizona, and ended up in Texas. 15 girls in the back of a truck. And they took them out into the desert and killed one of the girls and chopped up her body parts and handed it out to the other girls and told them that they needed to stay in line, or that would be them. And one of the girls at the next truck stop, or two truck stops later, got out and risked her life and ran away to tell that story. I think we have no idea what we've unleashed in our country, and that whether these are American children or not American children, doesn't matter. They're our children, and we need to do a better job. And our government right now is funding this and allowing it. And if we don't stop it, it's on us. And so I go back to, why do I work with law enforcement? Law enforcement can't sustain what is happening right now in our states and in our countries. Violent crimes are up, murders are up, theft is up. And this is free money to those that are committing those other crimes. And the fentanyl, we've all heard, there's enough fentanyl that's been seized in our country to kill everybody here 10 times over. So it's the fentanyl that hasn't been seized that is causing epidemic death in our country. So we have to be aware that it's all related. It's not standard. This crime doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in a silo. It happens as a result of many other crimes being committed. And so when I was out campaigning, I would say, who benefits from a weakened America? Well, it's not Americans. And we must understand that it is up to us to protect the most vulnerable in our communities and in our world. And to me, that's the children. And the more that we can protect them. And in games, Cammie, you brought up something. In games, there are games that children will get online. Mm-hmm. Adults can be on those games with them. And they can pretend to be children, but then they make a friendship. And we've had so many young girls and boys groomed away from their homes because of the internet connection. Millions, just epidemic amount of children. And I've helped bring back children. The worst call you can get is a parent who is sobbing into your phone and can't even breathe because their child has gone. It is the worst reality to be living in. There's no greater feeling than bringing that child back. And then it's not like nothing happened to them. So then once that child has gone through this trauma, you now have to deal with the post-trauma of what the child has been through. If it's been for a short time, they have a much greater chance of recovering and there being restoration. But if that child is gone for a long time and we get them back, that child is never the same. You can't undo the damage that's been done. You can heal it, but that scar will always be there. And it doesn't even need to be a physical scar. So many of these people that are predators were molested as children. There's all kinds of statistics, 1 in 6 for boys and 1 in 4 for girls that are being right now today in our society. The problem is they do have faces, they do have names, they do belong to somebody. And if we can't stop and we throw money out, but where does that money go and what is it being used for? So the work that I do is it's strategic more than it is anything else. Does my heart break every time I have to talk to a parent? Yes. Do I have a standard list of questions I ask? Absolutely. Do I have a great, amazing, incredible group of law enforcement that lay it all on the line every day? You bet. And I'm a staunch supporter of law enforcement in this state, in this country. What's demoralizing right now is that because of the sheer numbers of people coming into our country and the crimes being committed against the children and against the women being brought here, our law enforcement is demoralized right now. They can't keep up with what's going on. It is a thankless job. As I'm assuming in healthcare is also a thankless job. You should be, as a parent, so keenly aware of who your children are talking to. And you know, parents say, well, I put my child's cell phone in it so they can't talk at night. Well, they can talk during the day. If you don't know who your children are talking to, if you don't have, there's filters you can get, if you do not know, then you essentially are inviting strange people into your home every day.
And Kathleen, I wanna thank you so much. And I want to tie in, you know, the lack of law enforcement or how overwhelmed our law enforcement is with our last episode when we talked about our first responder shortage. And that first responder shortage, we talked about it includes law enforcement and how much of a scary concept it is if we are to wake up one day and call 911 and nobody's able to answer the call anymore. And that's the direction that we're heading if we're not able to, you know, make changes for many different areas in our society. And I want to thank you so much for being with us here today, Kathleen, because You have so many talents, and you're just such an amazing woman. And just you talking about these families, I know specifically because I've been on phone calls with you where you are crying because you keep in contact with these families, and it's not just a job for you. This is truly, your heart goes out to every single family, and you are involved in that family's life and the process that they go on. So I have one more question for you, and we got to try and keep it to like a minute if we can.
But... I promise. I won't be verbose.
But what can people do to help with this situation? And I know this is a huge, broad question, but if somebody can do one thing, what is it that they can do to help prevent trafficking or even to recognize it? What would you say?
I would say use organizations like mine or others to come and just tell you how these crimes are being committed. I think prevention comes from knowledge, and make yourself smart about how do you prevent trafficking in your community. There's many wonderful people, like-minded people across the country who want to do what I do. And they do, everyone has their own version of this. I'm so committed that this is what I do full time, and through the grace of God and my husband's generosity, I'm allowed to do that. Occasionally we get donations, which always is helpful, but if you really want to protect your child, your grandchild, know who their friends are, make sure that they know how valuable and special and purposeful they are, that their life has a purpose that is way beyond their imagination right now for good, and love them and protect them. And if anything seems wrong in your gut, check it out. Don't wait. Have serious conversations with your kids. They don't have to be grim, but make sure that they know that they are loved and needed and wanted in their families, and do everything you can to keep strangers and predators out of your lives. They will try, and it happens all too quickly and often.
Thank you so much for being with us, Kathleen. We really appreciate you today, and we appreciate everything that you do and all the efforts that you do for these children, what you've done for us. You're an incredible woman, and we're just so thankful that you were able to spend a little bit of time with us today.
It's time and